together. The early church spent time together. The early church ate meals together. They looked out for one another. They sought the goodwill of all the people. That's the model of the church not long after Jesus died, rose again, and then ascended into heaven. It was and is a model for the church to try and emulate. But it is more complicated than that, isn't it? In the early church, things didn't last the together way. People got tired of being so together. Some folks wanted more than they needed. People didn't always agree about what should be done. Greed and jealousy set in. Pundits started calling them socialists. The way that the early church worked is a model for the church today to try to emulate. It wasn't a rebellious way to tell the world that they were wrong and had to get with the program or else things would be bad. It was just a way the early church worked for at least a little while. We're not physically together during these pandemic times, but we are still very much connected, and we're meeting in virtual space in ways that is not so unlike the small house churches the early church met in. Nowadays, yeah, I know, church is more complicated. We have buildings that we're not meeting in, but we still have bills. We have nonprofit incorporation papers. We have capital campaigns. We have outreach programs. We have salaried employees. We have community events to participate in. We have fundraisers. And just like the early church, sometimes we have desire for more than we need. We have disagreements. We have greed and jealousy. Forget about all the pundit stuff. That was a joke. But none of this disqualifies us from being the church together. No, it doesn't. None of that disqualifies us from focusing on some very basic things together. None of that disqualifies us from continuing to follow God's two rules. Do you remember them? Love God. Love everyone. None of that disqualifies us from living out God's vision as a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And as we do that, we do have some specific things we can devote ourselves to. How about spending time together? Well, currently in digital space, we're worshiping, we're learning, and celebrating our call to be Jesus followers. Sharing meals together, Well, I don't know when this one's going to happen again. It's likely to be a long while. So how can we be creative in sharing space while we share meals or coffee? Well, coming up, I'm not even sure which day, but we're going to start some digital coffee hours. After church, you can go to a Zoom link and hang out while you drink whatever coffee you have some conversations with people. What other ways can we do that? I have heard of some people who are doing all kinds of things. Some nephew and niece of mine, some cousins and everything, they get together for an online game night, and there's technology involved, but you sign into this one thing and then you can watch a game and you can play it on your phone or on your iPad or something like that. And I know not everyone has that ability, not everyone can do that, but there's some digital community going on there. Or people who are having mealtime together, where they are all in their separate spaces, but when it's mealtime, they kind of sign in and have a Zoom or something with friends. I forgot the one of those apps. They're getting together and having mealtime together. I don't know if you want to do that. Maybe you don't want to be eating food in front of a camera for everyone else to see. So what's going on? Well, I smack my... No. I don't know, but we can be creative in figuring out how we can have great conversations and friendship building. How about this other thing, though? Looking out for one another. Noticing when folks are really happy or pretty down. Calling a friend, especially now. Calling, checking in on your people. Thanking your friends for all they do. Maybe helping folks with yard work. Maybe reaching out to a neighbor in need and saying, hey, is there anything I can get you at the store or whatever it is? Just showing genuine kindness toward all of God's children. And then at the last part of the Bible reading, it was seeking goodwill of all the people. This one's really the hardest because it's easy to help friends out. It's easy to call a friend or rake a neighbor's leaves. But it's hard to really seek goodwill for all the people. In town, in our states, in the United States, there are people we don't like. There are people we all disagree with, or you disagree with, I don't know. Sometimes significantly, right? There are greedy people. There are people who you're jealous of, or people who have been hostily jealous towards you. There are people you need to be away from because their presence seems to be toxic to you and maybe to everyone else. And it's really hard to get away from people right now when we are all, whoever you are sheltering with, right? There are people who put others at risk by refusing to do all there is possible to help slow and reduce the spread of coronavirus. Look, I'm not saying that you should go and make friends with everyone you don't like or don't want to be around or should not be around. Election season, yeah, that gives us a special helping of people you don't want to be around. And I'm saying that, well, we're called to seek goodwill for everyone, including those people. And I don't even want there to be a category of those people. We are all us. I get it, though. How do you seek goodwill for someone who you want not to have goodwill? What about people who harm others? Should I seek their goodwill? Well, all right. Seeking goodwill for someone, it's not about wanting them to do harm to someone else. But it also isn't about wishing harm on them. It's about genuinely wishing good things for them. Good things aren't about harm. They're about good things. None of us are going to turn the world into a perfect place. But we can devote ourselves to a model that can make it better. And we'll mess up. We do that really well. Welcoming the stranger among us as native born is part of our faith tradition. However, too often, instead of welcoming all, we put a limit. We act in a way to exclude immigrants among us are rejected, treated as outcasts, placed on the margins of society. You know, this past Friday, May 1st, it was International Labor Day, May Day. Let's not be the ones who exclude. Let's be part of growing the movement for social justice by offering this prophetic voice to welcome immigrants, refugees, all people, no matter when, no matter what's going on in the world, we can be advocates for that. No matter where someone's from, no matter where they are on life's journey. So let's create digital space to listen to those who are traditionally marginalized. Let's continue to offer transformational hospitality as we thrive, as we try to work to continue to build a welcoming community. Best way to live it out is to love God, love everyone. All right, you're watching this worship service and you don't believe in God. Love everyone. I think you got it covered if you do that. We still have great examples of what it looks like spending time together, however that works, sharing meals together, imagining creatively how to do that now, looking out for one another, seeking goodwill for all the people. Yeah, there's more that we can do. So now we have opportunity. I know we've got stuff that we can't do, but we can be imaginative. Let's be beyond imaginative. Let's pay attention to what we can do together, not what we can't do together. Let's pay attention to all we have in common. Amen. Sometimes I just love the sermons I give. I just said that, didn't I? Yeah.